Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And welcome to Cody and Gold. Jay Binkley here. My best friend in the world, Drew freaking Nixon, producing the operation.
I'll be back with Alex on Monday too, by the way.
And for the good part of most of the week. At least through Wednesday, we'll be doing that. Carrington on next. But Drew, a fun show. You have Fan Club Fridays, which we all sit around and get hammered at 1 o'clock. That's always fun. That's always worth looking forward to. Look for that. Jake the Snake Eisenberg is joining us at 10:30 from San Diego, who called Jack Caglione's home runs yesterday. Number one and number two, Jake joins us at 10:30. Then a very special guest. Very special guest. And you be nice to him, too, by the way, Drew.
Oh, I'm always nice to this
Matt
person.
McMullen from the Kansas City Chiefs coming in here.
He's very nice to us.
He's a very nice guy. But he's there every day at minicamp. Of course, he and Mitch do great stuff in the offseason. I've talked a lot of draft stuff with Matt during the NFL draft. But he's in studio with us as we answer Chiefs questions after Chiefs questions. And it just happens to coincide with the Chiefs Red Half Hour, which... If you're going to do a red half hour, bring in somebody from the Chiefs, right?
That's right. For those who are interested, by the way, the video stream will be up. I had to get something situated, so it'll be up here in a little bit.
Not interested.
Well, I know you're not, but you're going to be on camera, so you better be careful.
Yeah, well, that's always been an issue. Anyway, Drew, everybody expects you and I to hate each other because that seems to be the way that goes. It's funny. I had an alarm guy coming by one time.
I should have walked over there and shook your hand before the show started.
Well, this is about 2 weeks ago, right? One of the alarm guys comes by and he does a great job. And he says, I didn't even say anything. I just started talking and he recognized the voice, you know, cause he likes Chiefs and stuff. And he goes, I love the way, didn't say anything else. He says, I love the way you give Drew a hard time. Just that, like, that's it.
I think everybody likes
it. We're best friends now, buddy. We're best friends. But anyway, I came in today with a new attitude. People are expecting Drew and I to not get along. That is false. Drew and I get along very, very, very well. Drew actually offered to get me food today, which he never does, by the way. But he offered, and I appreciated that. It goes a long way, but we are now best friends. What's up, Drew?
You and I get – well, what's up, Bink? You and I get along so well. Next week, you're going to be on the 249 Miles of College Football podcast. We're going to talk about some college football next week.
You know what?
We'll talk about some today, too, but you'll be on for a little bit longer – 30-minute conversation maybe for college football.
250 miles of college football. I can't wait.
Not quite.
Oh, 247 miles of college football. Just kidding. It's 249.
Come correct with it, yes.
You've taken some time off, but you're back now, right? You're like Phil Still. It's go time.
I wasn't going every week consistently, but now we are back every single week. We got some more some new content plans for the season, some reaction stuff post game. It's going to be a lot of fun. There'll be more details on that as we get closer to the season. I see everybody's loving the Pacers getting the dub last night, Bink. Game 7. We're going to talk about that a little bit later too. Game 7s.
Yeah, that's great. I'm sure.
I did not cry last night, Bink, because the Pacers won.
Well, I was hoping you were deep down that you'd be sad, and so I didn't get my way on that.
But I mean, if they would have lost,
we're friends now.
Sad.
So I didn't want to see that. We're friends now.
That's right. Someone says, "When's the Disney movie segment?"
No Disney talk today.
I'm not going to bring that up today.
But anyway, Jake will be on at 10:30, and you know what Jake did yesterday, right? He tweeted out too.
He announced two big time homers for one man.
Not just little home runs.
One man.
Major home runs. Not only that, he's black ink for his scorebooks. You know, they keep score. I love keeping score
he
baseball
used the
games.
Black pen this time, right?
He did. Okay. But for Jack, he used red.
Ooh. Yeah.
Because Jack did this.
The 2-2 pitch. Caglione hits it high in the air. Deep right center field. Adolis Garcia's at the wall. It's gone. Watch it fly. Jack Caglione. His first big league home run. A 387-foot blast deep to right center into the Rangers bullpen. There's the power that's been promised. Jack Caglione has arrived with thunder.
All right, let's talk about that for just a second, Drew. What did you notice about that home run? It's actually a very big positive. I want to hear from you. What did you notice?
I mean, the ease at which it looked like he swung. You're talking about visually.
No, I'm just what happened or transpired during that call that you can appreciate because
play it again.
There's no controversy about it. It's something that you really hoped would happen. And it did. I played the game.
The 2-2 pitch. Caglione hits it high in the air. Deep right center field. Adolis Garcia's at the wall. It's gone. Watch it fly. Jack Caglione. His first big league home run. A 387-foot blast deep to right center into the Rangers bullpen. There's the power that's Boom. Been promised. Jack Caglione has arrived with thunder.
What did you notice, Drew, or take away from that? And you say, that is cool how that worked out. I'm not talking about Jack's power. We all know Jack's got power. Well, there's a couple things. First of all, that ball was really high, right? It was like
that was a ball that he hit a home run
off. It's like
the
fourth most in Statcast for being that high. I mean, he went high for that ball and knocked it over. That just shows his power because that ball was high when he knocked it. But that's not what I'm talking about.
Deep right center? Deep right center?
I'm going to play a second home run. It's very similar. No. What you notice about that is, and what I appreciate, is the baseball for the first home run went into the Rangers' bullpen. That means it's easily getting the ball back. I doubt the Rangers are going to be asking for a bat or an autograph. I doubt they're going to do that. But, you know, it's like Joe Goldberg was always, waiting in the right field in case he hit it. But wasn't that perfect timing for Jack to hit his first home run in the Rangers bullpen? Not Cody Tapp, who's down there dancing in Texas and decided not to go to the game, which is another story in itself. But he hit the ball into the bullpen, which means he gets it right back, right? Didn't have to give a jersey. Royals didn't have to give up a bunch of tickets. He didn't have to give up autographs. But unless the Rangers want them, which I doubt they will. But because they're not going to. I'm just joking. But it goes right into the Rangers bullpen. Wasn't that perfect?
I don't know if Jake said it with the second one where he used the word thunder. I think that should be part of the call from here on out of a Jack Caglione home run. Like he brings the thunder. I don't know. Something along that line.
Here's the second one. Now listen, it's almost like the first though. Deep right center.
The pitch. Fastball hit high in the air, deep to right center field. Garcia turns around, watches it fly. Home run, Jack Caglione. Make it two for Cags today in Texas. 4-1 Royals in the top of the ninth inning.
That's right. That was tattooed.
Yeah.
That went 439 feet. Keep this in mind. Vinny hit one the other night, what, a night one of the series. They went 413 feet, but it was caught. Like, that's what sucks, because other people hit home runs in that game against Leiter, but Vinny actually hit him further than that. But Jack Caglione, now here's the thing, Drew. You don't take that many bets, do you? Did these guys really bet on him being American League Rookie of the Year? Honestly,
I have no idea.
So you don't know if Gold did, because I can see Gold doing that, which isn't the worst bet in the world. Or Cody doing it. I mean, I just don't know. But I'll say this. Nick Kurtz, by the way, the A's. The guy that hit the walk-off against the Royals last weekend, he hit his third. Keep in mind, he was drafted two spots before Jack. He hit his third walk-off this week for the A's. So it's going to be a tough challenge. But do you remember where you were when Jack hit this home run? Everybody's been waiting for this. You guys have been waiting for this. You guys went to Springfield. You got in your car and drove down to Springfield to watch Jack in Double-A. The Dust Man and Gold went up to Omaha
they did.
To watch Jack in Triple-A in a short stint. Dusty and Gold
went to St. Louis to watch Dude when he made his debut. And then he hits that home run. Where were you, buddy? Where were you? Because everybody was waiting for Jack. Jack was waiting for it. Like, trust me, that guy might have been pressing. He got the day off yesterday. Again, smooth transition. This is what happens. You give him a day off. He comes in refreshed. And that ball was going out of that yard, come hell or high water, as high as he hit that first one.
I was at home. I was watching the game.
Were you watching the moment the Jack hit it?
Yes, I was. The second one, I was not.
What on earth would you have been doing?
I think I was in the kitchen. I had my back turned to the TV.
Why would you get up when Jack's going to hit?
Because I was making food. I was.
But there's other guys to get up and do that for. The Rangers bat you could have done. Here's the thing.
Okay.
Jack, to me, has made it to don't get up and grab a beer segment. Because I did get up and grab a beer. And yes, I know text line. They did play in the afternoon, but whatever. You don't. Jack has made that category now. It's become a guy that you don't get up and grab that beer when he's coming to plate. When you look at the scorebooks, oh, he's coming up second hitter or third hitter or whatever. You just don't get up and do it, Drew. You don't do it. You watch it. I digress. You know, here's a guy that you think of being the answer for the Royals. I think he felt a little bit of that pressure, and it was always going to happen. You know, when he got up here and this team starved for power, they couldn't hit home runs, and then all of a sudden they started hitting better, even though he wasn't quite hitting the ball like you wanted him to see. He had that nice four-hit day against the White Sox, which a lot of people do because that is America's booty call. Forget the fact they're winning games and they beat the Royals 2 out of 3. They still are. But he gets 4 hits against them. But now the floodgates are open, aren't they? When's he going to hit the first one at Kauffman? When is that going to happen? Is that going to happen? Because who knows? He may hit a couple more in San Diego. We don't know that. Jack completely did that. Did it against the Dodgers? Shohei Ohtani versus Jack Eglione? Are you kidding me, man? Are you kidding me? Shohei's pitching and Jack takes him deep?
I would say he hits one next week at some point between Tampa and the Dodgers, yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool if he hit it off Ohtani? Because Ohtani, man.
Oh, I mean, of course.
Ohtani was hit twice against the Padres. Royals see the Padres tonight. Dodgers tested great. That group, man. They tested that group mentally. They had a bench-clearing brawl last night. Not with Ohtani, because Ohtani waved them off. But the benches did come out when Tatis got hit by the Padres. There's some bad blood between the Dodgers and Padres. So hopefully they're mentally worn out. Hopefully they're mentally worn out before they play the Royals tonight, which they couldn't. Tatis, have we heard about Tatis? I know that Machado was...
Fernando?
Yeah, he was talking about his... Manny was talking about Fernando's x-rays and everything, and he said, they better hope those x-rays come out clean. What? You had a chance to hit your star, and you planted one on Ohtani twice. So don't tell me about that, Manny. So
somebody from the text line from the 913 wants to know if we've seen the Lumberjack nickname stuff. I think that actually...
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a great nickname.
I think...
That's a fantastic nickname.
Rex uses that a lot, I think.
I like it. I really like it. Lumberjack. I think you could make... T-shirts out of that, more than obviously just Cags. I mean, we have the Cag shirts, but
shirts are nice.
I think we should jump on the potential for a Lumberjack shirt, you know?
Typically don't buy Kansas City jerseys, Drew. Would you, like, do you have a Cag shirt?
Yeah, I wore it to the sporting game that I went to last week, or this past weekend.
Does Dusty Likens have the Cags jersey?
Yes, he has a Caglione custom jersey.
But anyway, Rex, that Lumberjack, that's awesome. That's probably what it should be. Text line says, come on, Bink, that pitch was neck high. Yeah, it was. It was like the fourth highest, as I said, since StatCast. Once Bobby Witt Jr. hit one that was just a little bit underneath that. But yeah, it was high, but he launched it. And it just shows his power. It didn't matter where it's at. He won that home run bad. And then the funny thing, he gets the silent treatment in the dugout after hitting it. It was kind of funny, sitting there high-fiving and waving to, you know, nobody. Because that's what happens in Major League dugouts when guys hit their first home run. And Drew is adjusting my camera. I break cameras, man. This is not good, Drew. I think there's probably a lot of people don't want to see it. At least for 1 o'clock hour when you and I talk college football, that would be nice for it to be on at that point, Drew. I did. But Lumberjack hits the 2 home runs. Rex, great nickname. If that's who gave it to him, I don't know who gave him that nickname. All as I know, have you seen the batting gloves? I've seen a few other guys in Major League Baseball wear those kind of batting gloves. They look different than the typical Franklins or the ones like New Balance that Ohtani wears. They kind of look like, you know, getting the business. They were yellow, They kind of look like what you'd be outside in the backyard with. Now they're kind of bluish. But man, they're cool. But the Royals and Padres tonight for three. This is, Alex and I had that conversation. What will the Royals be after six games on the road? They're going to go 4-2. They're going to split at 3-3. They were four games under at 500 at that point. And said, as simple as it is, what happens on game one? What happens game one that sets the whole tempo for the road trip? And then you start thinking 4-2. 4-2 on the road trip if they win that first one. But then what'd they do? They go and win the second one. And then what'd they do, Drew? They won the whole damn thing. They won the whole series against their friends, the Texas Rangers, who they share spring training facilities with. Now, what says you, Drew? Now, what should we hope for the road trip? Because I don't think 3-3 is an option at this point. I think at least, even if the Padres win 2 out of 3, which they're still a good team, I get it. I think you'd want 2 out of 3 from the Padres, but would you be settled for just one? Because that guarantees you a 4-2 road trip.
I mean, yeah, I think the expectation going to San Diego is that you get one, at least one out of it. I know that obviously, as you mentioned, they're, you know, very solid team. They're dealing with some pitching injuries as well. Joe Musgrove's on the IL. Yu Darvish is on the IL. So as it's another opportunity for you to continue the bats at least. You know, I think given how the pitching staff is, you should expect at least one win. As, you know, we mentioned, though, the Padres' offense is cooking pretty good, but pitching-wise,
they finally beat the Dodgers last night after losing the first two.
And you know, those games have been kind of higher scoring. So you think, okay, with our pitching staff, if you're the Royals, our pitching staff, the way that they're playing and the way the offense is going, an opportunity against a pitching staff that's dealing with some injuries, it's another chance to go ahead and beat up on them a little bit or take advantage of scoring, you know, 5-6-plus runs in every single game. I think there's the opportunities are there because you're going to face, you know, you're missing out. They're number one and number two are not pitching right now. So it's another opportunity for you to continue hitting the way that they've been hitting. So I would assume if they hit the way they've been hitting, along with the pitching, the way that it's been for the team, you're going to at least get one in San Diego, if not two or more.
Padres sit 5 games behind the Dodgers at this point. The Giants, who haven't really been able to score, they've got kind of the same issues. They're pitching, but they can't score. But 3.5 back from the Dodgers at this point. Of course, they picked up Rafael Devers. But anyway, the Padres sit 5 back.
That
so
division
it's very important.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy because the Diamondbacks have been playing good baseball. 6-4 in the last 10. They're right at 500, 37-37. I know people would like to see them fall a little bit, so Suarez becomes available. Meh, I might be one of those people too. But regardless, Padres and Royals tonight, I'm looking for a 4-2. You can say 5-1.
I mean,
that
might be
getting greedy, but you're saying 2 of 3 against the Padres? Hey, it's possible with this team. And not only that, I know Cole Reagans has been hurt, but talking a lot of Bubich. Even JJ, when we talked about, you know, trades and everything else with him, I did throw that question about Bubich at the end, like who's the biggest surprise on this team. I think it's been Chris Bubich, to be honest with you, because I know Noah Cameron's been a great surprise, and hopefully it lasts a long time, him being dominant, because he's been extremely dominant at this point. But Bubich had that one, just one bad outing. He was leading Major League Baseball in the ERA, and then it slid down. And that was an unfortunate thing, because the Yankees reined in runs after he technically struck out Jazz Chisholm. That was right inside that box. That was one of the worst calls I've seen, but that was a strikeout from Chris Bubich, and he settles down, and the rest is history. But Michael Wach has been freaking great, man.
Yeah.
That's why when they had that players-only meeting, and they talked about people talking, I was like, why aren't the pitchers talking, man? Why aren't the pitchers talking? Maybe they did, and I hope they did, because this team's not about the hitting. It's been about the pitching. Like, the pitchers deserved to talk. They're carrying that. Like, Michael Wach has been playing, what, 13 years? Like, Walker deserved to be one of those dudes talking. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know if they just stuck with Salvi and Bobby and maybe some Mark Canna, which I still have to wrap my head around. But, yeah, go ahead and have Michael Walker speak to this team. This dude's been incredible.
I don't think Mark Canna spoke, Bink.
Well, or is that, I heard everybody reported? Did. I heard the name Mark Canna spoke, so I don't know if he did or not. And that was tossed around. That was tossed around that Mark Canna was one of the guys. 10-year veteran, you know.
Somebody that did talk yesterday, as we didn't have a show, Andy Reid. We heard from Patrick Mahomes the other day. We heard from Josh Simmons the other day. We've heard from Chris Jones. Andy spoke, and
he did.
The pick that you didn't care too much about at the time, Bink, was Josh Simmons. However, one of the things that we've seen over the course of mini camp and rookie mini camp and all this other stuff with mandatory workouts, Josh Simmons' name has been brought up on a regular basis. His rehab continues to seemingly be going well. It's different because you're not, you know, not dealing with the pads. It's not training camp yet, but everything is seems like Andy's expectations for him being ready to go with training camp are actually going to come true.
Yeah, and this is kind of a cool down time for everybody. But Andy did speak. You know what time he spoke, Drew? It was like at 9:30 in the morning. Right? I told you it'd be early, man. I told you. That's why Mahomes went the day before, because everybody's expecting Mahomes to be talking there. I said, man,
yeah, that's
they're
going to
get out of town fast during this thing. And they did. Dude was talking at 9:30.
Yeah, I mean, I do. In regards to the Josh Simmons stuff, I think it's really interesting because, in my opinion, if Josh Simmons is ready to go, and we'll play the audio cut for you here in a second on what Andy said about him. But if he's actually ready to go day one of training camp, Inc., and he's cleared and he's good, I think by the time we get to the regular season week one, I think he will be your starter at left tackle. If he's healthy for day one of training camp and he's going full reps, I think he's your starter week one.
I think it's what you want to see. We'll see if it happens. This is what Andy Reid said, kind of the quote that kind of made its way around NFL circles yesterday.
They're both ready to go. Yeah,
talk about Rice and Simmons.
Work in these camps here. So,
what about Jared Wiley?
I think we're going to be okay there. He got some work here the last couple days, so I think we'll be fine there.
But what about Kilgore, man? I'm kidding. He's not even on the team. But anyway, there you go. Rice Simmons. We all know Rice, the injury last year. Everything looks good. He was on his way to being one of the best receivers in the NFL until he got hurt. But Andy went a little further on Josh Simmons as well, the number one pick out of Ohio State. This is what he said, what to expect from one Josh Simmons.
Listen, you can see his athletic ability. You can see his want to. He's got a great attitude. He's approached everything the right way, plus a little bit extra. You could tell if you just want to look at his rehab, you can see that he had a mindset that I'm get in there. It's not going to be training camp. So it's going to be like now. And he worked his tail off to get there. So you respect that part of it. He's done a nice job in there. He's worked well, and we'll just see. We'll see, you know, what training camp does to him. It's different when things are flying fast up there and you've got full contact and pads on, and see how he does.
See, it's bringing it down a little more realistically, I think, Drew, than, you know, the quotes that were making its way around to the NFL insiders and whatnot, that, oh, they're ready to go for camp. They're ready to go. He's ready to go. Everything's fine. That was just putting some reality on it, wasn't it? Well, we'll see what happens. We'll put the pads on, full speed. Yeah. We'll see what happens. I mean, I think that was good because that just calms people's expectations, because all they do is hear that, oh, he's ready for camp. He'll be maybe. We'll see what happens when the pads get on and full speed, because it's a little bit different. I mean, he's working his way back from pretty big injury. So to expect things right away and expect them that quick, it may take time. It's good to hear those type of things. Like, that is the kind of the information you want to hear before they go into July. But again, I like the way that Andy's like, hey, put the pads on, get full speed, and then we'll see what happens. And let's not forget about Jalen Moore.
So I brought this up. I think this is an interesting conversation. I know that he hasn't played guard. But if Josh Simmons wins the job, is there any, because you're paying him, I know you're not paying him a lot, but you're paying him still, is there any thought to look at Jalen Moore playing guard? Or do you think they're full on set with it being Kingsley or Caliendo? Because I think that, I know it's not tackle, but it's the left side. It's a guy that you're paying, so you rely, you're in some way trusting him to be ready to go in some way, shape, or form. Not that you don't trust Kingsley, but to make sure the line is the best that it can be, do you actually start Jalen Moore at left guard? Like, if things, and let's say camp's going great. I think it's going to come down to the wire bank for that decision. But let's say Josh Simmons looks great. He wins the job, and it's his job. And we're 2 weeks into training camp, beginning of August, preseason games just starting. Do they try Jalen Moore in any of those games at left guard and just see what it looks like? Or do you think that if he's not starting left tackle, then he's the backup, and then he also could be swing tackle in case Jawan Taylor gets hurt?
I know they like Caliendo a lot. I do. I think they see him kind of as a Mike Allegretti type guy. Or Nick Allegretti type guy, Mike Caliendo. I think they see him kind of as that guy. Do you know what Jalen Moore, could he go to guard? I suppose he could. I mean, he's a tackle by trade. Right,
I mean,
tackle,
that's
left tackle.
Happens all the time. Well, that's what Kingsley did.
It could. But he's very athletic. Do you know the position he actually went to Western Michigan to play? Do you know what the actual position?
I do not know. No,
he was a tight end. He was recruited as a tight end. Jalen Moore was, and then he gained some weight, switched to a defensive end, and then he went to offensive tackle. So he went originally as a tight end.
Yeah.
So it just shows that, you know, he can play multiple positions. He can do other things.
I mean, my football quote unquote acumen knowledge is obviously very limited. Him playing tight end and that blocking and the athletic versatility, doesn't that, if he's pulling at guard, like, doesn't that sound appealing? Like his
the ability to pull.
Because I know that Kingsley, obviously very athletic. He seems very agile, very athletic in that frame of thinking as well, with pulling and being able to get downfield and help block. I just think I'm worried, and maybe it's just because of what we saw last year with Kingsley. I would be worried. I don't care if he's playing guard or not, Bink. I'd be worried with him on the field. Until he shows that he's fine, I would be worried if I was a Chiefs fan.
We just want to see full speed. You want to see full speed, contact, pads on, not the shorts and stuff from minicamp.
Yeah.
It's good news to hear. I mean, that is good news to hear. If it does work out, I mean, that was it's a pretty gem, man, if it works out. Regardless, Jake Eisenberg, one of the voices of the Kansas City Royals out in San Diego now. Well, it's a little bit early for Jake, too. Do you know that, Drew? It's 8:25 out there. Do you guys know
is that why he hasn't texted me back yet, you know?
It is early for Jake out there. This isn't an East Coast stint. This is West Coast, man.
Well, I texted
him,
he
hadn't
answered, so maybe
he doesn't like you.
I'll try. I think Jake likes me. Oh, there he goes. Jake said he's good.
He's good. All right. We'll talk to Jake Eisenberg, one of the voices.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The Royals next. And welcome back to Cody Gold. I'll actually be in with Cody Gold or Gold next week. But Jake Eisenberg, it seems to always coincide where I get to talk to Jake. I love talking to Jake. I did say it's earlier to talk to Jake today that Drew didn't realize. He didn't realize the time difference
I didn't.
Between talking to Jake. I mean, this is a very big request we're doing here.
Yeah. He is here, though, and he's ready to go.
Which one of his calls do you think with the Kegs home run was your favorite?
I don't know. Let's have Jake come in. Jake, which one was your favorite to call? Was it the first one?
Oh, goodness.
Is it the first or the second, first one, Jake?
The first one's always going to be special because it's the first one. I liked the second one a little bit better personally just because, I mean, that was a no-doubter. Like, you knew it off the bat. The fact that it was, you know, a multi-homer game when he also hit his first home run. I'll be honest, like, you know, as far as, like, technically speaking, I got a better read on the second one, probably because it was crushed 439 feet. And when you get a better read, it allows you to do some better things. That first one, I mean, he has a pitch at his eyes. And from our vantage point, you know, where we are, it was a little bit tough to see whether or not that one was going to go out. And then when it did, you just hope you meet the moment. So I'm glad I didn't screw it up. That's all I got to say.
Well, listen, this is so good. Second home run here.
The pitch. Fastball hit high in the air, deep to right center field. Garcia turns around, watches it fly. Home run, Jack Caglione. Make it two for Cags today in Texas. 4-1 Royals in the top of the ninth inning.
That was the second one. It was, we're talking to Jake Eisenberg, voice of the Kansas City Royals. Jake, I got to say, there was something about that first home run. There was a couple things about that home run that was interesting. One, it was high, like you said. It was way up there, right? That was since StatCast, what, the fourth baseball hit that high since 2008?
Yeah, something like that. I think it was the highest pitch ever hit by a Royal.
Yeah,
since
crazy.
Pitch tracking in 2008. But, like, it's something funny that Q said after the game, you know, like, you know, for us, that ball's, you know, at our eyes. For Jack, that's a ball at his shoulders. It's really high off the ground, but Jack is also really high off the ground.
Yeah. He's
6'5". But still incredibly impressive. And I think one thing that tells you the raw power that he has.
Yep.
I mean, if you look at that swing in slow motion and you look at the way the ball leaves the bat in slow motion, you're like, oh, that's probably a pop up. But because he's so naturally strong, he can sort of mishit a baseball a little bit or take a pitch that's at his eyes or at his neck. And hit it over the fence. It's pretty incredible.
That was incredible. But there's something else, too, there that was interesting on the first home run. Hit it into the Rangers' bullpen. Doesn't that work out perfectly? He doesn't have to trade a bat, a jersey. The Royals don't have to come up with any tickets or it unless the Rangers want to, like, keep it, which I doubt they would, but or, you know, just kind of joke with the Royals around about it. But it goes into the bullpen. Wasn't that perfect? Because now he gets that ball back free and clear.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this, too. You know, he gets it back free and clear, and he gets it back dry.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember, Bobby's first home run at Kauffman Stadium, it didn't fly directly into the fountains, but it bounced into the fountains. And so I believe there was an usher that had to go fishing for it when all was said and done. Or maybe it bounced back onto the field. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm not actually sure if it did wind up in the fountains. I know it landed in kind of left center, right in front of those seats. And either bounded back onto the field or went in the fountains. Either way, yeah, it's probably always a little bit better when you can just get that ball back without having to worry about if it's the actual ball or, you know, if you got to trade something. Although I know guys are more than happy to trade things for milestones like that.
And then one thing about too, Jake, is, you know, just think about some of the pressure, you know, on this guy. You know, he comes up, gets a few hits here and there, got the four against the White Sox, gets the day off yesterday or 2 days ago, gets the day off and then hits the two home runs. I mean, that's one of those quiet little moves that actually seemed to work out well for Jack.
Yeah, I think when we look back at it, having that little reset day, I think was probably really important. You know, he was 0-for-4 with a couple of strikeouts on Tuesday. It did make sense for him to sit on Wednesday with the Royals facing a lefty. Not that he's sat against lefties since he's gotten called up, but he hadn't had an off day yet. And one thing that kind of stuck in my mind that I was wondering about is I wonder what his experience was in the dugout during Wednesday's game, because he had never had the chance to watch a major league game from a major league dugout. And I wonder if there were different things that he picked up on or conversations he had with hitting coaches or guys that were in the game that day, just thinking about his approach or what he was going to get a chance to do the next time that he got a chance to be in there. You know, that was the first time, other than, you know, the days that he's been a designated hitter, that he's just been able to kind of watch a game unfold at the major league level. And I'm also sure that, yeah, you know, being able to put, you know, Tuesday's game behind you and then take it into Wednesday or Thursday. I think that helps a lot of guys, not just guys that are in the big leagues for the first time.
Yeah, you think about that, then, of course, he gets the silent treatment after the first home run. It happens around baseball. It's kind of fun to see that happen and see the guys just having fun with Jack. But, you know, all the pressure coming up here and feeling, hey, it doesn't seem that's the way it's going to be. And, you know, Salvi, you know, hit a couple home runs the other night. But the first game against the Rangers, Bobby gets a double, boom, he scores. I mean, that's what you want, man. Your big dog stepping up in certain situations. I think it's been a nice fit for him. I mean, yes, people are going to be looking at it and fans are going to be looking at it as a savior of the organization coming up here. But the bottom line is just kind of let him settle in and just be one of the dudes. I think that'll make him better going forward.
Well, I mean, the truth is I don't think it's fair to look at any one player as the savior of any organization.
No.
And I think the main reason why, Bink, baseball is a different sport. This is not the NBA. This is not the NHL. This is not a quarterback in the NFL. When you play baseball, it's hard as one player to have an outsized impact on every single game, every single night. I mean, that's what makes, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. the superstar that he is that we pretty much saw that over the course of last season. That's why, you know, he was the best all-around player in baseball, and if not for a historic offensive season, Aaron Judge, we're talking about him as the MVP of last year. That is an MVP-caliber thing that he did, but that is the 1% of the 1% of the 1% of baseball players. You know, the vast majority, the 99%, you know, are guys that are going to, sure, help you win a ball game here or there, but are not necessarily going to be able to impact a ball game every single night. You know, that's the big difference. You know, when you got five guys on the floor for a basketball game, one guy can go off for 50 points. When you've got one elite goal scorer on the ice, you know, whether it's Connor McDavid or somebody else, like, they can take over a game with their skill. When you've got, you know, the best quarterback in the NFL, when you got Patrick Mahomes, he can take over a game, especially, you know, in the third or fourth quarter when you need a comeback. In baseball, you don't have many chances to take over a game because there's no guarantee the ball is going to get hit in your direction on defense. You're only going to get a chance to swing the bat four, maybe five times a night. And who's to say if those four or five times a night are in a big spot that's going to have an impact on a game? You know, pitchers have a lot more of an outsized impact, especially starting pitchers. But overall, it's a team sport. It takes the entire collective. And I think that's one thing that we saw this week in Arlington. We saw this Royals team play as much of a team as you can in baseball, and we saw every part of the game click. The offense clicked, the starting pitching clicked, the bullpen clicked, and you know, that amounted to a pretty convincing sweep of a decently good Rangers team.
Talking to Jake Eisenberg, one of the voices of the Kansas City Royals, and Jake, I saw you tweet out that you had everybody else kind of in black pen when you're doing your score sheet, but you had Jack in red. Was that planned?
Well, so I guess I should clarify. Every single home run, every single run that's scored is scribbled in red. I made that note just to kind of highlight where those red ones were.
Good stuff. Bottom line is, though, they get the third. Baseball is such a game of failure. I'm sure you saw it a lot in minor league baseball when guys would get promoted, come up, and then all of a sudden they'd get acclimated to whatever level that is, double A, triple A, get acclimated to it. And you've seen it time in and time out. I'll never forget when, you know, Whit Merrifield comes up to Kansas City and it was red hot. And then, you know, teams made the adjustment on him, but he made him right back. He made him right back and still became a good player. Some guys don't. Like, some guys don't make that. It was good to see Jack doing it, but what do you notice a lot of times, Jake, when guys come up? And because baseball is a game of pressure. It's a game of failure. And even the best fail at this game at certain points. You just got to get rid of what happened the day before.
Yeah, I mean, Denny says it all the time. Life is nothing but a series of adjustments. That's the advice that he got from his dad so many years ago, and advice that he still carries over today and uses on the air a good amount. And it's like you said, you know, there are going to be guys that are going to be able to make those adjustments faster than others. The league is going to adjust to you at a certain point. That's why we see the so-called sophomore slump sometimes with players in their second season, because the book's out on them and the league has an idea of how to pitch to you, or the league has an idea of how to approach you as a hitter. It's actually something I was talking to Brian Sweeney the other day about this. It's something that was so impressive about Noah Cameron when he faced the Cardinals a second time. That was the first time that he faced a major league team for a second time, and he did it pretty quickly after the first start that he had against the Cardinals, and he went out and he threw six shutout innings. That's the sort of stuff that tells you that he has the ability to sustain what he's doing for the long term, because he's able to make those adjustments and still carve up a team that saw him so recently. And so, looking forward to watching him. He's got the ball. He's the scheduled starter tomorrow here in San Diego.
You know, speaking of Sweeney and the Kansas City Royals pitching staff, it's been incredible. And, you know, stories like Chris Bubich that, I mean, I know Noah Cameron's had a great start with Kansas City, but Bubich has been just incredible. He's leading all of baseball in ERA until the Yankees game, which I feel like he did strike out Jazz Chisholm there, and there had to be four strikes in that game. Then the Yankees end up getting extra runs. But Michael Wacha and what he's doing, his performance yesterday, he's about as steady as can be. And when you're – you know, Lugo had a great game too, but whenever you take those guys away and you have Bubich and Walk and stuff like that going out and doing what they're doing, this is a reason why the Royals are third in starter ERA in baseball. That's why they're two in American League in starter ERA. This pitching staff hasn't blinked. They're continuing on, even with some of the big dogs going through injuries at various times. It's because of the Bubich and Walker that they're able to keep doing this. And the Noah Camerons, I mean, it's amazing what this pitching staff is doing.
It's been such a fun pitching staff to watch, especially because they all do it a little bit differently. And, you know, specifically on Wacha, you know, watching him yesterday go six innings, one run ball. He didn't allow a hit until the sixth inning. I mean, you kind of look at the numbers on the surface and you see the ERA is a little bit over three. It's like, okay, that's solid. Then you dig a little deeper and it's like, oh, wait a minute. He's allowed three runs or fewer in 12 of his 15 starts.
Insane.
He's got a quality start in seven of his last 10 starts. And to be honest, if you take away the runs that have scored after he's left the game, the bequeathed runners that have scored, this is something I've talked about because I just think it's really interesting. You know, there is no pitcher that has had more bequeathed runners scored than Michael Wacha. And that's just happenstance. You know, the bullpen's going to strand some guys. Sometimes guys are going to score. It just so happens this year, the guys that Wacha has left on base when he's exited the game have invariably come around to score. There's been nine of them this season. That's the most in baseball. You take away those earned runs from his ledger, his ERA drops like a run, and we're talking about Michael Wacha in probably a little bit of a different way. We're talking about a pitcher that would have a top five ERA in the American League, and so that's what he's done this season, and it's been really fun to watch.
It's been fun to watch these guys, the pitching. Now they go off to San Diego. Interesting series. We'll talk about that. They just had with the Dodgers. But Bobby Witt Jr., man, I mean, going home and being around, you know, in Dallas there and everything, five hits in that Rangers series. Matter of fact, three of his last four games, he's got multiple hits. I mean, that is bad news for baseball when this guy gets rolling.
Well, it's good news for us.
And good news for us.
The good news is that there have been very, you know, few times where he hasn't been rolling. I mean, it was the other day when he was hitless in four straight games. That was the first time that had happened since July of 2023.
Amazing.
You know, so that is your MVP, can impact the game every single night kind of player. And it was so fun to watch him do that, you know, back, you know, in his hometown, which is a ballpark that, you know, bluntly he'd struggled in over the course of his career early on. He had never hit a home run there. He was hitting, I think, under 200 there over, you know, nine career games, sample size being what it is. So watching him hit that double in the first inning on Tuesday and then the homer the next time up, that was really, really cool. And, you know, this lineup is starting to click, and I don't think that we can talk about this lineup, Bink, without talking about what Mikel Garcia has meant to
him. Yeah.
I've started banging the drum, but Mikel Garcia needs to be an all-star this year.
Agreed.
I mean, he is the best third baseman in the American League not named Jose Ramirez. And That's with all due respect to Alex Bregman, who's also been incredible, but is on the injured list and is going to be for some time and is very unlikely to play in the All-Star game, even if he's voted to have a spot in the All-Star game. So that opens the door a little bit for Mikel Garcia to be a first-time All-Star, and he'd be incredibly deserving to be so. I also think it'd be pretty special for him to be in the All-Star game, given the fact that it's Atlanta and that's where Ronald Acuña Jr. plays. And so he's likely to be an All-Star, and those two, his cousins, could be All-Stars up against each other. I just think Mikel Garcia has done everything offensive, defensive, as a third baseman, and deserves a lot more support than he's gotten so far.
Well, it was good news. The Royals win the three against the Texas Rangers, team they're very familiar with going back to spring training, sharing facilities. But now it's San Diego, and who comes off a very emotional series against the Dodgers. A lot of bad blood between those two teams. You saw Ohtani hit twice, once in the first game of that series, and then once again last night, Tatis was hit, pulled from that game. We'll see what his stat. Have you heard anything about Tatis? And I know he's doing x-rays today and everything.
Yeah, I mean, did you have a chance to watch any of that game last night?
I was glued to the whole thing. I saw Ohtani kind of wave off the team, hey, don't come out here and everything. Then Ohtani goes and walks over to their bench, and I was like, whoa.
I'll tell you what. So we got into San Diego last night, and, you know, I popped on the back half of that game just to see – you know, what the Padres are up to. And that is one of the more ridiculous ninth innings I think I've seen in a long time. I mean, it was deliciously chaotic. I mean, you had Fernando Tatis get hit by a pitch with one out in the ninth inning. He got hit on the hand, and it did not look great. And so, no, I haven't heard anything about that today. I'm sure we'll find out at some point. But the bench is clear. Mike Schilt gets ejected. Dave Roberts kind of forearm bumps Mike Schilt. Yeah. He gets ejected. So both managers get ejected. Both dugouts are worn. That's the top of the ninth inning. And then somehow the bottom of the ninth inning is even weirder because Ohtani is hit by a pitch on a 3-0 fastball after both benches had been worn.
Yeah.
And so because he's hit by the pitch in that fashion, it triggers an automatic ejection of both Robert Suarez and Brian Esposito, who was the bench coach for the Padres and serving as acting manager because Mike Schilt had been ejected. And so Ruben Nieblo, the pitching coach, becomes the manager. And then you continue in the bottom of the ninth inning. It's the ninth inning. The Padres entered leading 5-0, and they wound up needing three pitchers to get through that ninth inning. It started with back-to-back walks, then a fly out to left. Then Suarez came in. There was an RBI ground out. Then he hits Ohtani, gets ejected. Yuki Matsui comes in. He walks Miguel Rojas. Then he goes 3-2 on Dalton rushing. Ball three winds up bouncing in the dirt up into Martin Maldonado's chest protector for a catcher's balk. That brings in a
run. Seen that.
And then ultimately Matsui gets the strikeout to end the game. But it was just such a wild and ridiculous sequence. And, I mean, the one thing that I thought was really interesting about it was having watched kind of the back half of that game is that both Miguel Rojas and Dalton Rushing had entered the game as pinch hitters, I believe in the seventh or eighth innings for Mookie Betts and Will Smith respectively. And what was a 5-run game, which was an interesting situation for them to be pinch hitting in. It almost kind of felt like the Dodgers were punting on that game a little bit and getting their guys a little bit of rest. And look, nothing against Miguel Rojas and Dalton Rushing, but when you've got the tying runs on base or at the plate, I'd rather have Mookie Betts or Will Smith at the plate. I mean, those guys are two of the best in the league. And I mean, who knows how that game turns out if those guys are still in there. But as far as the Padres go, that was a win they needed to avoid getting swept in a 4-game series against the Dodgers. They come back from a 2-4 road trip against the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers. They've played a ton of close games this year. They played a ton of weird games this year. It's a team that has had some inconsistent offense. Though Xander Bogaerts did have 4 hits for him yesterday, he'd been really cold. Manny Machado's been, you know, the other greatest third baseman in baseball this year, but of course he's in the National League, so no doubt he'll be the starter at third base for the National League at third base. He's incredible. One other thing to note about their offense, Jackson Merrill, who was second in Rookie of the Year voting last year and arguably should have won the whole thing. He's currently on the injured list. He's on the 7-day concussion IL. That happened last Saturday against the Diamondbacks. So that's a big piece that the Padres are missing from their lineup. But it's going to be a really interesting series.
I agree. Good to see both these teams coming up here in the Padres and the Dodgers. Jake Eisenberg at the crack of dawn in San Diego, taking time to join us before he hits the beach. Thanks a lot, Jake. I'd talk to you all day, my friend.
Yeah, of course. Anytime, guys.
There you go. Jake Eisenberg right there. That was a bizarre game, man. And then Ohtani gets drilled in the back,
hey,
right?
You know, I can respect it, though. If you're the Padres, you're going to hit my guy. There were 8 total hit.
They'd already hit Ohtani in another game, though. So
Tatis was hit in another game, too, though.
But he's hurt, though. We'll see what happens with Tatis.
I think you're backing the Dodgers way too much, Bink.
No, I'm not at all. I'm just saying that he waved off. Well. I respect the Dodgers or the Padres for doing it. But Ohtani gets hit. He waves off the Dodgers. Hey, we don't need another bench clear. And then he walks right over to their dugout.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that happen because I've seen Amir Gurt do it to the Pirates, but he fought him. And I was like, is Ohtani going to fight everybody? And he didn't. He just
doesn't come across as a guy.
No, he's not.
You know, at all that would do that. But
you know what, though? Drew, things happen, man.
Bink, that might be the best. Bink, that I don't think I'm overstating. That might be the best rivalry in baseball right now.
Oh, I think 100% is.
They legitimately hate each other. Just like back in the day when the Yankees and Red Sox were that way, it's very much the Padres were the little brother. Then they beat them to go to the World Series that year that they ended up losing to, I can't remember who it was. But they didn't win
the
World
Series. Was it the
Astros? Yes, I think it was. Yeah, they played the Astros and they lost to them. But anyways, yeah, that series is really good. Well, and speaking of series in the playoffs, Bing, I was thinking about this last night.
Oh, boy, here we go.
So the Pacers and Thunder are going to a Game 7 on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Game 7.
Congrats to you.
Thank you. It's the first game seven. It's the first series that's gone 7 games in the finals since 2016. I didn't realize that it had almost been a decade believe it or not. And it made me think as well with the Stanley Cup. And we've had the last 2 years, right, of the Stanley Cup go seven. Last year went seven when the Panthers came back and won. And then this one, it only went six. I'm sorry.
Only went six this year.
Still.
7 year before.
Game sevens mean a lot in sports. I don't remember the last time we had a game seven in baseball in the World Series, but it made me just think about how special game sevens are in regards to people remembering those moments in sports where you get the best of the best playing in a win or go home game, playing in a moment where it's the biggest game of your life, essentially, for that moment. And, you know, for both the Thunder and the Pacers, it is that on Sunday.
Yeah, there's nothing better than game sevens. Or just elimination games. Elimination
games. Two best words in sports.
The College World Series got a little bit of that, too. The other night when Arkansas was playing LSU, I mean, LSU hadn't lost a game at the College World Series, and Arkansas was facing elimination if they lost. If they won, it would have forced another game. But you got that bizarre ninth inning. You remember the Arkansas meltdown there in the ninth inning?
I was getting messaged about it on Twitter, actually. Yeah, there was it was rough. It was rough.
Hey, it was funny. They're showing Davila missed that baseball, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they should have got, but they neglected to show the should have been a double play to end the game, but they decided to take the force out of third. It's fielder's choice. They could have taken a double play right there and been out of that inning. But regardless, there's a lot of bizarre things that happened. But yeah, the culmination is just the pressure of winning or not. I mean, game sevens are the best, man. So I'm expecting, I know it's in Oklahoma City, and they're going to be fired up because it's a home game, but Oklahoma City did win. Indy, just the magnitude of the moment, you win, you have a parade. You win, you have a ring. You win, no questions you have to answer the rest of the time because you've got that ring on your finger. That is such a huge moment. You know, Super Bowls are like that too. You know, it's just one game, you're not playing a series. But just the life-changing moments of what an elimination game means.
Yeah, and you know, the SEC likes to use it just means more. I mean, you can say that collectively for game sevens entirely across sports. Is those games, Super Bowls, you know, the win or go home stuff is, it's something in sports. Somebody mentioned the last one in baseball was 2019, so it's been a little bit forward for baseball as well. And 2014 also had game seven. So like you're in the moment, Bink, where you don't feel up against it. Your backs aren't necessarily up against it. It's just a one-game series. You know, this is for all the marbles sort of stuff. So I'm pumped up, obviously, myself for Sunday. The Pacers have nothing to lose. They weren't favored in the series to begin with. They're not even supposed to be here.
It's just that close to winning it, you know?
Agreed. I mean, there obviously is pressure because you're there and you have that moment. But if there was anybody that had more to lose just based on all of the narratives from the season, how it's gone, you got the MVP, it's the Thunder. Where if they lose, that'll be really in the conversation around that team will be really, really interesting.
The best thing about this is it's just teams that don't rack up rings. You know what I'm saying? It's just interesting dynamic between the two.
And they're all basically homegrown for the most part. Like there's been some deals made in between, but they've built their rosters without signing a legitimate superstar. Like there hasn't been a free agency signing of LeBron James or Kevin Durant or James Harden. You know, you can just go down the line where those teams all who have all done that. I've already been knocked out by these respective teams.
And they've never won a ring, either one of them.
Yeah, exactly, which I think is the most special part about it. Is the Game 7, it's maybe the best series we've had since that 2016 series between the Cavs and the Warriors. There's been a lot of classic moments. If the Pacers win the whole thing, by the way, that poster, I don't know if you watched the Game Bank yesterday, but Pascal dunking on J-Dub. I didn't roll in the Korean. They had the Korean and Portuguese calls. Mike Breen couldn't hold a candle to those calls from the Portuguese and the Korean broadcast yesterday. They were outstanding.
So you're going to be rocked up and ready for Game 7, obviously.
Oh, I'm going to be amped up. I'm going to be very,
this is
very...
good for the casual fan, too, I think. Just even if you're a huge fan of the NBA, you don't ever watch it, but it's the finality of everything.
And I think people in Kansas City can relate to both teams in the way that small market teams, they're not expected to be there necessarily. They've built up really good rosters. They've got great management, really good head coach. Like all of it is coming together. I think small market cities across the country can appreciate Indy and Oklahoma City being in there in the finals. If they win on Sunday, I'm going to have to see. I'm going to try to find when the parade is, and I'm going to try to make my way out to Indy. I might have to take the day off.
Well, I agree. You look at the other two major sports. You know, you think of the Dodgers, you know, being that big market team.
Yeah,
nobody wants to see that. And then you have the Chiefs and the Panthers, which are very similar because the Panthers have gone to three straight Stanley Cups. Chiefs have gone to three straight Super Bowls. So you have two of the four where two teams just been completely dominant. The Panthers did it opposite. They lost the first one, then won back-to-back. Chiefs won back-to-back, then lost this last one. But still, Chiefs and the Panthers. Panthers are the Chiefs on ice. That's the way I call them. Regardless, Matt McMullen is here, buddy. Matt McMullen is here.
Down and get him.
We're going to talk Chiefs with Chiefs reporter right here for an hour. Can't wait to have Matt in studio next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.